Greetings. This is David Olive. I would like to get started here. I see most people are on the line, and I thank those for joining this special call today with the SOAC SG RALO, C and RALO leaders to talk about the recent materials presented to us by the CCWG co-chairs, in particular the accountability timeline, and also to discuss the need or the likelihood of further discussions and or face-to-face meetings that relate to this. And so to that, I would like to say again, welcome. As part of our regular procedure with this call, it will be recorded and transcribed, and we just like to make sure that everyone knows that that is the ground rules for today. Obviously, those will be made available soon thereafter. And the agenda, as we have it in the Adobe Connect room, is as follows. I'm doing some introductions. There'll be some remarks that come behind a discussion about the accountability timeline, and hopefully the co-chairs of the CCWG would also make some comments about that. A discussion on the timeline moving forward and other activities needed, and then any other business will be linked to those decisions. With that, if there's agreement about the recording and transcription as well as the agenda, I'll pause here. Seeing none, we'll proceed as we normally do on these calls to make sure that we have note-taking and records of our discussions. Is Fadi on the call at the moment?
Yes, I am, David. Hi.
Would you like to make some remarks, please?
Yes, absolutely. Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking time again to connect with each other about the weeks ahead. Of course, many of us are starting to feel the holidays arriving and would like to get some, frankly, on my end here, some clarity on your plans so that we can support you in the best way possible. We specifically had sent you all a note that we'd like today to get a good understanding from each SOAC leader or representative on the call. So we'll go around to each of you on your plans once the proposal is in your hands to secure your community's assessment and review, and whether those plans include a need for a face-to-face meeting. Frankly, we're just weeks away from this process wrapping up, and if we do not have at least a visibility to that by the end of November, it will be very difficult for us, A, to logistically make this happen, and B, there may be also some requirements on noticing various groups to get them together for face-to-face that we need to make sure we are cognizant of. So this is, I mean, by no means nobody needs any more pressure, and I don't mean to apply that. I think, though, the time has come, as we agreed last time, to have this call specifically so we can get that kind of visibility from you today. I will then go around the group and ask for that visibility, but before I do, let me just update you a little bit on some important discussions staff had with NTIA during the last few days. We now have, as you know, access to the 2016 United States Congressional Calendar. That calendar allows us to understand when the House is in session, when the Senate is in session, and more importantly, when they are both in session at the same time, which is the definition of a legislative day. That definition is important because if the .com Act passes in Congress in December, and right now it is likely it will pass in December. Then once Larry is done for his review, his interagency administration review, not yet the congressional part, he then has to give Congress 30 full legislative days in order to review his findings. So I just want to share this with you because the calendar, now that we have it, to be quite frank, is not very encouraging, simply because there are very few days in the first half of next year when both houses are in session. And again, these calendars just became available, so this is not knowledge we had before. So let me just make sure everyone is clear on the timeline moving forward. And I'm going to pick up from when we deliver a final proposal to NTIA forward, after that. Because what happens before that is in your hands, not in my hands. What happens after that is largely a process of the U.S. government. But I just so everyone is clear on it. And the reason it is important for us is because it is becoming, every day we're late, we're pushing these dates out into a year when the congressional calendar is, as we say, thin. So it becomes critical for us to be aware of that. So once we deliver the proposal to Larry Strickling, the board, once the board delivers the proposal to Larry Strickling, he will start his own review, which includes, most importantly, an interagency review, which means this is within the U.S. administration, not Congress. He needs to do that review. That review right now, he told us on Friday, unequivocally, will take him a minimum of 60 days, and possibly up to 90 days if there are legal issues with the proposal that will require multiple cycles with various legal authorities within the U.S. government. So his best guess is 60. His worst guess is 90. That does not include Congress. Now, once he's done, if the Dot-Com Act passed in December, passed meaning it became law, then he is required to then count 30 legislative days after those 60 to 90 days. During that time, he will be, as we will be, available to Congress. Right now, if we hand him the proposal anytime after, pardon me, if his 60 to 90 days end after March 17th, he has weeks before he can even talk to Congress because they're not in session all the way till mid-April, for example. So just giving you a sense of how then the weeks become hard because he might just hold on to the proposal and not even give it to Congress till mid-April. And then we have to deal with the fact that the House is not in early May, etc. It might be helpful, Teresa, if we could share with the SOAC leaders the congressional calendar. We have gotten now a calendar that shows when each is in session, when both are in session, just so people can count days along with us and figure out that issue. I know it's not our problem, but it's important that we're aware of it as we go. One last comment on what happens during the period when Larry has the proposal. As you recall, Larry cannot certify to Congress that he is done with his review until the bylaws have been implemented. So also during that 60 to 90 day period, there is a point where we will get clarity from Larry that the proposal is good enough and that we should adopt the bylaws. The board will then adopt the bylaws, and upon doing this, Larry will have then what is a complete package to go to Congress. So that happens also within the 60 to 90 days. So I'll stop here. I just wanted to give you a view that if we keep pushing, just because we're doing what we need to do. So this is not critical. I'm just saying if we keep pushing the date out, for example, if Larry doesn't get the proposal until late January, early February, and he needs then his 60 to 90 days, then we're clearly now looking at summer. And during the summer, by the way, Congress is just not there. In the United States this year, because of the election, pretty much July, August, there is no one here. It's just shut. So we need to just be cognizant of that, because if things move into that time frame, frankly, there are serious concerns politically for us. Any questions on this from anyone on the line before I ask the SOAC leaders in order to then guide us and give us some direction on what happens from November 30th when you receive the proposal from the CCWG through the moment we deliver this to NTIA, and what specific requirements you have for a face-to-face meeting so that we can start planning for these accordingly. Any questions first on the what happens post-delivery to NTIA? Okay, very well. David, do you have a particular order in which you invoke the SOAC leadership? Why don't I let you?
I'll be happy to start that process. And in fact, I will start it with the CCNSO, because I did receive a note from Byron, who had a conflict and he cannot join, but he wanted me to relate the following message from his assessment as he saw it. To that extent, he was saying that at this point, it is unlikely that the CCNSO will require a face-to-face meeting. They have a council meeting scheduled for the 10th of December and will be reviewing the final proposal. The CCNSO Council also has a special meeting scheduled for December 23rd to approve or review the final proposals and all the comments. This is, of course, contingent that the dates do not slide, but that is currently the CCNSO plan for handling this important matter. With that, I would move to, I was just looking at the list, Alan Greenberg for the ALAC and at-large, could I recognize you?
Sure. Our position is the same as it was when we answered formally several weeks ago in email. We are not going to be the organization that forces a face-to-face meeting, but if there is a face-to-face meeting that is requested by anyone else, we will be participating. I can elaborate to some extent as to why, but that's the short answer.
Thank you very much. Recognize either Donna? I know Donna Austin, the now co-chair, acting co-chair of the GNSO. Other members of the GNSO Council are on. Donna, would you want to make a comment at this stage?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, David. If I could also ask if we could make it a two-part question before we lose Alan. So Alan was very crisp on the answer regarding the face-to-face. Maybe just a clarity from each group as well as to whether they have the process, if they're confident that they have their internal process so that the chartering, they as a chartering organization will be able to conclude their position regarding the proposal in the timeline shown here in front of them in the Adobe Acrobat room. In other words, do they have that process set up once they receive the final proposal on January 7th to finalize their approval? Will they need all the way to the 22nd? Do they know that process, and are they comfortable they have this in hand? I'm sorry, David, to add a second question to that, please.
That's fine. Alan?
The answer is yes, we have the process. The exact time it will take will depend on, it's a bad season for some people, and exactly when we can schedule probably several webinars and a conference call to hold the final vote if we have to do it via conference calls. Obviously, if we have an intersessional meeting, it will depend on the timing of that meeting.
Okay, thank you. We have a few GINESO Council members there, Donna Austin, Keith Drazik, or James Waddell. May want to comment on the GINESO discussion last week that may be helpful on this point?
This is James. I can weigh in briefly. I'm certainly not speaking from half of the entire council. I can at least give you my take from our call on Thursday.
Thank you, James.
Also, just thanks to Fadi for providing insights on what's going to happen next. I think that's kind of been a black box for some folks. It certainly helps me think about the calendar a little bit. But generally, there were some concerns. I think everyone appreciates the time sensitivity of this and getting it approved by the chartering organizations. There was some concern about collision with holiday availability over the next 6 weeks, as Fadi mentioned. The GINESO Council has on its calendar some place marks for special meetings. I think Marika put the dates in the chat to review the final proposal in mid-January. I think that we are holding space for review of those. I think that the general sense from the conversation on Thursday was that if there is a face-to-face, that there would be some participation from the GINESO, so we would certainly like the logistics as early as possible. But I don't know if that's all that significantly different from Alan's response, but I think that was where we landed.
Thank you very much. Jonathan Robinson, your hand is up.
Thanks, David. Let me see if I can help by adding a little here. I mean, first of all, there's a CWG perspective, and that's important because the CWG will need to sign off on its dependencies in relation to the work of this CCWG. That'll take place in two different ways. One is during the course of the public comment period, it is planned that we will review the proposal and then comment back as to whether or not the dependencies are met. And then, of course, subject to that proposal not being substantially altered as a result of the public comment period, we should be confident that we can certify that, assuming we have already, that the dependencies remain met in the final proposal. So from the chartering organization's point of view, I think they will be relying on that two-stage process. They essentially get an indication that it's likely to be okay during the public comment period, if indeed it is, and then following the close of the public comment period, when the final report comes out, it'll be a necessary condition that the CWG provides that input. So that's key for all of the chartering organizations, and I don't think that will require a face-to-face meeting. And then second, as you well know, the GINESO significant amount of the work gets done within the stakeholder groups and constituencies. So what's critical here is that I guess that you hear, in addition, from the stakeholder group and constituency chair or leads, that they are satisfied that they will be able to put back a position of comfort with the proposal via their representatives and or councillors in the GINESO, because that will empower the GINESO councillors to then sign off or vote on the proposal in its final form. And whether it, so in a sense, it's really about whether the stakeholder groups and constituencies, what sort of time they need, and then the GINESO Council can do, as James has said and Marika has indicated in the chat, the work that it needs to do is more, in a sense, mechanical and managerial. I hope that's useful additional input, David.
Very much, Jonathan, and we can quickly ask the various heads of the stakeholder and constituency groups if they want to also make a quick comment. I see that Tony Holmes had put in the chat that he anticipates the GINESO Council should be able to achieve a sign-off without a face-to-face meeting. the registry groups. Graham, would you like to make a comment?
I would be commenting on behalf of the registrars, actually, not the registries.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, registrars. Yes, sorry.
That's okay. I think we have some concerns about the timeline, and we still haven't seen the report yet, so we don't know if there are any showstoppers in there. We certainly wouldn't want to be the group that's holding up the whole process. And so we'll have to look at this very carefully when it comes in. But so let me express a bit of concern about how tight this timeline is, especially over the holidays, but then also a desire not to be the group that's slowing this down. So that's not particularly concrete, unfortunately, but it's the best I can offer at the moment.
Thank you, Graham. Paul Diaz for the registries.
Thank you,
again,
David.
Face-to-face and timeline. Mm-hmm.
Right. I will echo everything Graham just said. I'd also refer everybody to the Adobe chat. I invited Keith Drazik to join this call. He's been so involved in the process, and I share the point that Keith makes on the list. We believe, as well as some of our other GNSL colleagues, from the GNSL's perspective, face-to-face is hopefully not needed. Should it come to that because of an updated draft, of course, we will find somebody and make ourselves available. We do believe that we have good communication with NGNSO, that we can work this out. There is some precedent, but we certainly, as registries, share our registrar colleagues' concern about the timeline, the fact that we won't see the final report until the 30th of November. It gives us very little time to go through the details and make sure that we're fully comfortable. We are trying to schedule group meetings right now so that we can go through this together, ideally provide our input to the process. As a contracted party's house, we'll do everything we can to meet the timeline, but do want to underscore the concern that's already been expressed about the very short amount of time we have. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Rudy for the MPOC, and then Phil Corwin for the BC next. Rudy?
Thank you, David. Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I think I can join all the other colleagues in their proposal. Indeed, timeline is very short, and I'm confident that a face-to-face meeting will not be needed. Of course, if there is any issue that would pop up, I think it would be, in that case, a request to see each other and to be able to align different views. We scheduled already this week an ExCom meeting in order to be able to do the necessary planning so that we can eventually have our session with the members of NPOC organized the second week of December in order to be in time with the deadline. So I think that from NPOC's side also, we're confident that the proposal would be in good shape and that there is no need for a face-to-face meeting.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Thomas Rickard had his hand up. Does he want to make an intervention or a comment before we go on to some other groups?
Yes. Thanks very much, David, and welcome everyone.
Please.
I just to clarify that when you speak to the time plan, we need to get that right on the date that you've predicted as the date for approval. So we cannot possibly afford any of the chartering organizations to meet physically or virtually and then go back to us saying that they are going to reject one or many or multiple of the recommendations in our report. Because that, according to our charter and those that have joined the last SOAC leadership call will remember that in our charter there's a rule on how to deal with rejections from chartering organizations, and that would basically force us into a supplemental draft, and that will roughly take another 2 weeks or so to be turned around at least. So we would definitely fail on the deadline, and according to what Fadi said, likely fail on the overall timeline if we don't get approval as specified in the time in front of you. Having said that, let me briefly respond to some of the comments that have been made earlier about the report not being finalized and not yet out there. We have, as you will recall, published an update document. I hope that a lot of you read it. I hope a lot of you will agree that it's an excellent document to understand what we're doing. And rest assured that this document is almost exactly what you're going to find in the final report. So the final report has a lot more detail. There are a lot of appendices to it offering background information. But this update document will serve as the basis for the final report. It's going to be a little bit longer, but a lot of the parts that you find in here you will recognize as being unaltered for the final report. So you can start working on that, and you should start familiarizing you with the changes that we've made since the second report which we published. Good news is that we're almost ready. There are only a few questions, really basically two questions that we're going to resolve within the next 24 hours or so. All the community powers, everything that has to do with what we call work party number one, is in pretty good shape. We had calls yesterday and earlier today to get feedback from the group with their need on feedback in terms of feedback and alterations for the final report, and there was almost no comment. You know, so we're really in good shape. We need you to ensure that should there be the need for rejection of recommendations, we need to know this very early, hence the timeline that we spoke to during last week's call and also what you see on the screen here. And if there's anything that we can do in order to help you expedite your internal processes to make the overall deadline possible, please let us know.
Thomas, thank you very much for that clarification. We now move to Robin for the NCSG comments, please. Greg Shackman will be next. Robin.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Robin. Please go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, I share a lot of the concerns about the timeline and, you know, the fact that there's only going to be about 9 days that the translated versions are going to be available, that public comment will be open. So there is a lot of concern as to whether or not people are really going to be able to read these, digest these, prepare to comment on them. We've got a lot of significant changes since the last draft, the second draft came out. So I want to be cautious. I'm not too overly optimistic that everyone's just going to sign off on everything and we're just going to go merrily off. I think there are still some significant concerns and some decisions that still haven't entirely been made. There's text that's not finalized, and we're seeing some new text for the first time in the draft that came out a couple days ago. So I think there is some concerns with the timeline, and I think that the quality of the report is going to suffer as a result of the timeline. I think there are things that we're just realizing weren't in the report that we thought were in the report, and because we're being rushed along to agree to what's being put in front of us, that mistakes are inevitable. So I'm concerned about being able to do a good job in this short of a time frame. And I think sometimes we talk about this, like the accountability work group is on an external timeline, and actually that's backwards. There is no transition until the accountability reforms have been built and are in place. So I think that, you know, we have to make sure we don't put the cart in front of the horse, so to speak, and it's important to recognize what the priorities are, which is getting the accountability reforms in place before there can be a transition. So I have some concerns about the timeline going forward. Thanks.
David, if I could just interject a thought.
Yes, please.
Robin, we agree with you that the timeline is very tight. There's no question about it, and your concerns, I think, are real and very much appreciated. We're going to do our very, very, very best to get the translations out as soon as possible after the 30th. I will also ask staff on December 1st, no later, the day after this proposal comes out, to actually hold a webinar in multiple languages where we can walk people at least with a translated understanding of the differences between the last proposal and this proposal in various languages. So we're going to do our very best. None of these things are a replacement, obviously, for having all the time we need, but all the time we don't have. So we will work with the co-chairs of the CCWG in good faith as soon as we can to provide as much clarity as possible to people who would prefer to understand these things as soon as possible in their own native languages. But thank you again. Thank you for your very sincere concern about that, and we'll do our best to mitigate it with the CCWG chairs.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Fadi. I'll now move to Greg Shatman from the IP community, and then Phil Korn, you're next, and then we'll turn to some of the other SOs.
Thank you, David. Greg Shatton from the IPC for the transcript. I agree with what I've heard from my GNSO colleagues up to this point, and I think that the face-to-face is really the least of our concerns. As Keith notes, GNSO Council meets regularly by phone or periodically by phone between face-to-face meetings. We'll all find a way to work telephonically and remotely, but the timeline itself and finding the linkages between different activities such as public comments, analysis and response to public comments, appropriate conversations between different groups within the GNSO, both prior to and at the council table, I think, pose a number of challenges, given the length and complexity of the report and the capacity for things to be dropped in that regard. So I share the concerns about things getting lost, and also keeping momentum through the holiday period. There's only so much you can do to whip people along to have the necessary conversations, and while everyone realizes the gravity of what's being done, it's precisely because of that gravity that it's important to explore what we have in front of us, or what we will have in front of us. As noted, while the broad strokes are in the formal update, there are a lot of details either being developed or that have developed but not necessarily quite the way expected by those in the CCWG. Some of those are will be repaired by the 30th. Others perhaps will require further study. So I think that finding the way forward for all of this to be considered among the different constituencies and stakeholder groups and at the council table is going to be quite a challenge. But not one I think that needs to be met with a face-to-face, in my personal opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Phil Korn for the business constituency.
Yes, thank you, and sort of continuing a theme. I have attempted to survey the business constituency regarding the timeline. To the extent I've received feedback, there is concern that a December 21st close of the public comment period is just 21 days after the release of the final report, and in the context of a new designator model, which is a significant deviation from the prior member model, there is concern and a desire, frankly, a desire that would prefer to see the timeline for comment of at least 30 days, if not 40, but certainly to the end of December. putting on my council hat, my counselor hat, I don't see the council being in a position to say yes or no to the proposal at its scheduled December 17th meeting, which is before the close of the comment period, the December 21st close. I personally would be much more comfortable having an opportunity to review those comments before casting that vote. On the other hand, at this point, I don't foresee any issues so controversial that would require a face-to-face meeting to address it that couldn't be worked out through conference calls and emails. And I do think that the council will be able to take a final position for the GNSO by the second half of January, perhaps at that January 21st discussion we have scheduled. So I guess that's a summary. You know, we'd like to see a little more time for comment, but the council should be able to make a decision in the second half of January for the GNSO. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil. I will now move to the ESSAC. Patrick, would you like to make some comments?
Sure. So let me start with ESSAC. If it is the case that we end up in issues and discussions regarding the proposal, which, by the way, we don't see any reasons with so far when we're investigating, a face-to-face meeting is not helping us. So we will not request a face-to-face meeting regardless of what is happening. So just so that is clear. Let me also speak up for ICG, as it seems to be the case that I'm the only sort of co-chair of ICG on the call. We are still of the view that the CWG and CCWG are in coordination and collaboration with each other, and I assume that us, the three groups, will probably coordinate so much over phone, which means that the actual work that we have to do from ICG side to validate with CWG that the CCWG proposal fulfills the requirements in the CWG proposal is something that is just bureaucratic and do not require in a face-to-face meeting either. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick, for the ESSAC and the ICG points of view. Thomas Schneider for the GAF, you are next.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Thomas, hello? We can, loud and clear.
Okay.
Yes, Thomas, loud and clear.
Okay. First of all, hello to everybody, and thanks for sharing this information. This is very valuable. With regard to the GAC plans or timelines, as you know, that one of the key elements for us is, of course, the whole discussion around stress test 18, where we will have, right after this phone call, we will have the final meeting of the subgroup of the CCWG dealing with stress test 18. We are approaching a solution, but we are not, that may be acceptable to all, at least the ones that have been expressing views on this, but we are not fully there yet. But the chances are reasonably there that we may actually get somewhere today, but it's not fully clear. So I hope that we will get to somewhere where we can say that we will probably be able to live with something. With regard to how the GAC will organize itself, we have had an informal get-together of the GAC members that were present in Brazil at the IGF, and what we agreed is that we would basically, based on the basis of this preview document, start analyzing to the extent possible what we have already now, and then, of course, wait and see what will be the result or what will be in the final proposal with regard to stress test 18. We will definitely try, as we have done before, to come up with a GAC consensus feedback or input during the public comment period, which will be a challenge because the deadline is short, and you know that we have another big meeting, or many of us will be at another big meeting in New York about the World Summit Plus 10 review process in the UN, which unfortunately coincides with which is in the middle of this period, and negotiations are underway, and there may be an intense period until December 16 or whenever that meeting is taking place. So this is going to be quite a challenge for the government to find the time to look into everything. But what we are planning so far is to have a GAC conference phone call meeting around the 10th of December, where we would try and see what could be a GAC consensus input. And then, so right before the work in New York, and then if necessary, have another conference call around the 20th of December after the WISIS meeting in New York, with a view to finalize an input before the deadline of the 21st. To whether or not we will need an intersessional meeting, I think that will depend to a large extent on what will be the outcome of stress test 18 and how easily or not acceptable this would be to GAC members. So it's a little bit difficult for me to at this stage or before tonight's stress test 18 meeting to say whether or not we would need an intersessional. If stress test 18, the result of today would be such that we would think difficult for GAC members to agree on, it would be quite clear to me that we would need an intersessional meeting in January. If stress test 18 would be a compromise that we would think that may be acceptable to GAC members, we would try and include this in our public comment feedback in December. So I can't really tell you much more about yes or no with regard to an intersessional, because that, as I said, will mainly depend on what will come out tonight of the stress test 18 meeting. But I do understand that the way it looks, we may be the only, nobody else is planning to have an intersessional meeting, right? So in case we would have one, we would be the only ones. So I get this right?
Yes. At this stage, it sounds
yes, that
like
seems to
that's
be correct.
The case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And,
okay.
And based on what you just said, Thomas, if I may interject, you are hinging the need for a face-to-face meeting on stress test 18 and the outcome of that language. May I understand from that, therefore, that in the next few days, given that that language will be somehow, some way finalized in the CCWG proposal to be delivered on November 30th, that by November 30th, you will have clarity whether a face-to-face meeting is necessary?
Yes, that's what I hope at least, because the other element, I haven't had the chance to fully assess this, and I guess nobody else in the GAC has had, but I think the rest should be more or less going in the right direction, so that I hope that we would be able to comment on this through electronic coordination and one or two calls in December during this period. And then with stress test 18, it will depend on where we are with stress test 18. So yes, that's right.
Okay. So why don't we at least take a marker that on the 30th or so, we will connect with you if we could, because obviously, Thomas, you understand planning a face-to-face meeting for the GAC is given the holidays and everything, and given the notice period that is required to inform GAC members, will be tight past the 30th. So why don't we agree that the 30th, which is a week from today, we will connect with you without the need for a full call like this one, although we do have a call on December 1st that all the SOAC leaders attend, as well as many of the CCWG, CWG, ICG leaders, that is called the Transition Coordination Program Facilitation Call. And maybe why don't we use that date and that meeting as a time for you to give us a near final heads up whether the GAC needs to meet in face-to-face. Could we do that? I believe we all
yes.
have it on our calendar for December 1st.
And
okay.
Just as a piece of information, we've been looking into our operating principles, and in fact there are deadlines for announcing intersessional GAC meetings. I forget whether it's now 30 days or what, but there is a deadline that you
28
need to
days.
Or 28 days. And even for a telephone meeting, there's a deadline of 10 days or so to announce. So we should definitely take this decision at the end of the month. So I'm absolutely fine with this, yes.
Okay. We could always also notice a meeting and, you know, decide that it's not necessary. But if we don't notice it, we won't be able to do it. So anyway,
yeah.
I'll leave that to your good judgment. Let's make sure that on December 1st, we all finalize the GAC decision, given that that's the only group right now that is indicating a potential need for face-to-face. And hopefully your discussions on ST18 today will obviate the need for that and allow us to do without, frankly, the complexity of a face-to-face during this busy time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas, for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you, Fadi. I will now then see if Louis Lee, if he's still on the call. I saw him earlier, if he wanted to make a comment about anything from the ASO side. Giving him time to get on the call. The other then, just to quickly round out this, in case if there are any RALO chairs that would like to make a comment in addition to Alan Greenberg's remarks, please raise your hand so you can be recognized for a minute or so to make that. Alan Greenberg, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, Fadi had said the GAC is the only one that has indicated they would use an intersessional. The ALAC has said we would far prefer one. We do not want to be the only organization that causes it, but we think our process would be significantly enhanced if we do have a face-to-face. So it's a straddling the fence answer, but it does say that if at all possible, we would like one. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks for that clarification. And again, on the 1st of December, as we finalize the position of the GAC, we will all be on the call together again. And it would be, frankly, the way the outside date for us to even be able to pull this. I know many of us think the ICANN meetings team does magic, but it's not always that easy. And also a meeting of 100 people is a very different meeting than a meeting for 500 people. So there's just lots of, frankly, just mundane considerations. But we will do everything we can to support you in every way possible. This is critical, and we respect that. Let's talk about this on the first once the GAC gives us a heads up. If David, you have exhausted going around the room, did we hear from everyone who wanted to speak about this? I just have a couple of final comments that I'd like to insert in general comments. But let's make sure everyone who wishes to speak has spoken.
Thank you, Fadi. At the moment, I ask people to either indicate their hand in the chat or on the call from the RALO chairs, or that were the next. Glenn said no comments. Any other comments? Fadi, I'll turn to you, please.
Okay, thank you very much, David. Just a couple of comments, and this is addressed to my colleagues in the CCWG. If right now we've been very focused on December 21st, and it seems that that line is now relatively clear, despite obviously the difficulties we all see, but it seems like this is where we are with that. How about the dates on the screen between the 21st and the 24th are firm? I have discussed this with staff to support you in every way possible. It may mean many of our staffers will not be stuffing their Christmas stockings, but they understand, and frankly, they have committed to do everything possible to help you prior to the Christmas day to get that done. Now, my question to you is about the December 24th to January 7th period. If we don't need to do this now, Thomas, but I'm just asking that within your own processes, if you could review that timeline and reconfirm or confirm that this period of time is necessary for the work in your hands once the final proposal. Any days, of course, we could reduce there would give the chartering organizations more room to review their work. But again, I leave this in your hands, and I don't expect a comment. But please help us there. The second comment is totally unrelated to all of this, but I just wanted to make sure I say it. There are persistent rumors without basis that there are still questions about the location of the next ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. And the answer to these rumors is that they're just that, they're rumors. And I would simply ask that SOAC leaders here on the call help us in pointing out that these are baseless rumors, that the commitment continues for us to move forward with that meeting in Marrakesh. And I think after the difficulties we've had last time, it is very, very important that we all stand united and firm in our commitment to that location and to that continent at this time. So just I wanted to make that comment because some of you had reached out and asked, and there is absolutely no discussion, not in my team, not with the Moroccan community, not with the African community, and certainly not with the board, about any change of plans. So I'd appreciate your support in conveying that as well. Back to you, David. I'm done. These were my two comments for the morning.
Thank you, Fadi. With that, we will, of course, quickly make sure that the transcript and recordings are made available to this team. In terms of the consensus or the views of various people, it seems that there are various timelines that are being planned for the decision-making of the chartering organizations that would keep within this timeline presented, if not changed, and that if indeed a face-to-face meeting is needed, we would have to, of course, know that by the end of November for logistics purposes, but it seems that at this point there might be just for the GAC or one or two others. In that sense, the meeting on December 1st, which is the program facilitation meeting, will be that forum to further discuss, if not confirm, the need for those meetings to make sure they fall within your scheduling and programming of consultations within your groups. And with that, I will just know that people have to run to another meeting with the stress test 18 and not to keep people any further. I will then make sure that we get the distribution to you of the transcripts for the last meeting and this meeting as soon as we can. I'll get it out to you and your groups. And we thank you for your time and attention on this. And any other meeting that may be on December 1st, we'll make sure that there are reminders given to all on that point. And then just finally, on the Marrakesh matters, there was a briefing of the GNSO Council on the monitoring of security and other factors for that with the hosts and whatnot, and we will be glad to share that with the SOAC leaders on the monitoring of that element as well. With that, I would like to thank everyone for their time and attention and wish everyone a good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye. Bye, all.